All right, here we go. Welcome to this edition of the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast, powered by College Recruit Prep. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us wherever you might be watching or listening from. If this is your first time with us, welcome. Go give us a follow on our Facebook group page at Showcasing College Baseball and follow the podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Showcase College Baseball Pod for exclusive clips and content. Today's episode is brought to you by Armilla Tech, pioneers in sports communication technology. Imagine a world where every play call is crystal clear, secure, and executed with precision. That's the world Armilla Tech has created. Trusted by top coaches across North America, Armilla Tech's innovative electronic play calling system is transforming how football, baseball, and softball games are being played one play at a time. Visit armillatech.com for more information. On to today's episode and guest, who just so happens to be the all-time winningest coach in the history of Central Missouri baseball and the all-time winningest coach in the history of Kansas State baseball. Yes, he carries both of those distinctions. He's a former national champion. He's won more Coach of the Year honors than I have time to list. And he's won over 900 games in his illustrious career as a college baseball coach. He was hired last May to lead his alma mater back to national prominence. And he's my guest on this episode of the Showcase and College Baseball Podcast. He is Brad Hill. All right. Boy, I'm excited for this episode of the Showcase and College Baseball Podcast. Again, I'm Ross Holly. I'm your host. And today, this is a really fun episode for me. It's with a gentleman that I respect tremendously. I never got to play for him, but I played against him. I had a lot of teammates that played for him. And boy, just nothing but unbelievable respect. And I'll say this, we're talking with Coach Brad Hill of Emporia State today, NCAA Division II in Kansas, in Emporia, Kansas, Emporia State. And Coach Hill has I was telling him before we got online here, his resume. Oh my gosh, Coach Hill, your resume, it reads like a, well, like a Hall of Fame resume is what I would say. So Coach Brad Hill of Emporia State, I'm so happy to be talking to you today on the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast. How are you today, man?
I'm great, Ross. Like I said, I appreciate anytime I have an opportunity to talk college baseball with somebody. It's an exciting day for me. I love the game, love the college game, and I've been very blessed. Had a pretty good career.
Yeah, you have. And so I'm curious, as we start off, just had this conversation today, I want to know more, because I look at your resume and I'm like, holy cow, been there, done that. So Coach Hill was a head coach at Central Missouri, national champions in 2003, national coach of the year, went to Kansas State, turned Kansas State baseball program into what they are now. Make no mistake about it. That is it. He's going to say no, but I'm telling him yes, that's how it is. Some other stints along the way. Here's what I want to know. How'd you get back to Emporia State, Coach?
Well, it's an interesting story. So, college baseball is in my blood, obviously. I'm pretty transparent. You know, at Kansas State, my time ran out, and we took it to a pretty good level, a high level. One went away from the College World Series in 2013, and then unfortunately the wheels kind of came off and we just didn't recover. So, you know, by the time I got done 2018 and it was time for me to move on, and obviously I think Kansas State made the right decision. I was pretty beat up, tired, and worn out. It's kind of like some people told me. I mean, I had some pretty smart people say, hey, Coach, you really need to take a year off, decompress, recharge your batteries, get ready to go. My ego had a hard time accepting that. And so, I kind of did put in for a couple jobs. I'm not sure how actively I, pursued them, how hard I pursued them, and ended up just going to Colorado. And went to Colorado, jumped into some travel ball things. And you know what? It was cool. I got back in. And for a year, I did enjoy coaching eight-year-olds. Just getting back to the roots of the game, Wow. Just coaching eight-year-olds how to catch, how to swing a bat. Just the rudimentary skills of beginning to be a baseball player again. Because at Kansas State, my job was to manage. There was not a lot of coaching going on. I had every coach for every position. And it was about managing. And it was just kind of refreshing back in and get to actually coach. And, you know, for a year, really enjoyed it. And then COVID kind of hit, kind of slowed it back down. And as the grind started to kind of come around and those hours of lessons going from 5 to 10 at night started to wear me out and decide that, okay, I've had about enough of this. Lo and behold, I get a phone call from Josh Reynolds, one of my former players at Central Missouri and my pitching coach at Kansas State. And he got the interim job at Northwestern. And he asked me if I'd like to come be his bench coach, coach the defense up at Northwestern. And I don't even think he got the words out before yes. and then my wife goes, I think I know what you're doing, and that's okay. You need to go do it. So I took a year to go up to Northwestern, and it was probably one of the funnest years I've ever had. Getting to coach with Josh, Northwestern, we had really good kids up there, had good players. Obviously, as we saw, unfortunately, when we left, 4 or 5 of those kids left, and 3 of them were top 5 round draft picks.
Jeez.
And we got it going fairly good, had a good year. I had a blast. Unfortunately, we didn't get to stay at Northwestern. Came back, had a couple job opportunities, but what it did is it lit the fire under me again to be in college baseball. I was just like, this is where I belong.
Yes.
I need to put a 1 back in front of that 8. I need to be coaching 18-year-olds and not 8-year-olds anymore.
That's right.
And so things kind of work out the way we're supposed to. A couple job opportunities late in the summer after Northwestern. Man, I wanted to do them so badly. But from a family situation, I couldn't really, do that one again. A guy took care of me. Brian Beiler took care of me out in Colorado. We had a Marucci facility out there. Gave me a really nice opportunity there. But yet, still in the back of my mind, I want to do college baseball. Mm. And lo and behold, I get a phone call, about a year ago, middle of May. I get a phone call from Jamie Souter, who's an Emporia person, but coached with me at Central Missouri when we won the national championship. He's my GA.
Wow.
And he goes, Coach, are you ready to come home? I'm going, what are you talking about? Come home. He goes, well, the Emporia State job just opened up and they're interested in, seeing if you would be interested in visiting with them. And at first I'm like, man, I don't know, because obviously I'm, Bobby Fornelli, I got so much respect for him. Seth Wheeler was here and I know the struggles they had. And it took a pretty strong coach to come in here and understand some of the things that Emporia State wasn't, up to par with yet in the MIAA. And Jamie says, no, we got new president Hush is here. David Spafford, new AD. They are totally committed to upgrading the athletic department, including the baseball program. Mm. And he goes, you at least need to talk to David Spafford. And I think David gave me a call. I'm sitting in the parking lot, Safeway, Monument, Colorado. He started talking to me about Emporia and the goals and the vision of President Hush and himself. And I'm going, this is way different. And it got me really excited. My wife and I hopped in the car, drove to Emporia, got to see everything, visit in person with President Hush and David Spafford. And it just worked. I was all in. Once they kind of told me the vision of where they want to take the program, I was all in. So things, like I said, a lot of times they work out the way they're supposed to.
Coach Hill, that is so cool to hear that, because I for context, Coach Hill graduated from Emporia State in 1984. Not to date you, Coach, but you still, and you look you look fantastic, by the way. That year with 8-year-olds did wonders for you. You're an Emporia State graduate. You're in their Hall of Fame, their honor, whatever it's called, the Emporia State Hall of Honor. I spent a lot of time in the middle of Kansas, just to put it that way, going back and forth in my days. And I always felt like every time I was through Emporia, I was always like, man, this is kind of a cool little college town. I feel like it's a hidden gem. So talk to me more about Emporia State and because your resume, you can kind of choose where you want to go at this point in your career. I get it. You have the ties to Emporia State, but why Emporia State and what makes Emporia State unique at this point in the game?
Right. I think again, commitment's everything, having a vision and having people on up top that want to have success. I mean, coaches want to be somewhere where they feel like they have a chance to win. There's no question. You want to feel like you have a chance to win.
Amen.
The tradition here, I think, is what people don't realize is the tradition at Emporia State. So we got 9 World Series appearances. Ooh. You got a national championship in 78. You got runners up in 87 and 2009. Mm. And, you know, you got all Americans. We got some pros, some MLB guys. The tradition here, honestly, is kind of hidden from everybody. And people don't realize that we probably stack up in the MIAA. I would say Central Missouri obviously has to be on top of what they've done, but we're probably right behind as far as a national recognized program. Emporia State is probably second. And that's just being honest. Sorry to the other coaches and other programs out there in the MIAA, but it's the truth. You look at our signage out there, and no one else has the signage we have of playing in World Series, the numbers of them that we have.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was important. Obviously, we have facilities here that continue to grow and get better. That was important to me. I'm a player development guy. I feel like, again, as you look at teams that I've coached, and again, I've had some great coaches, and we can talk about that a little bit later about where some of my coaches are right now. But I've always been player development. You know, it's kind of like go take the guy that's the 3-star recruit, a little bit like Coach Snyder, obviously, at Kansas State. Take the 3-star recruit who's driven, passionate, chip on their shoulder, potential, and then develop them. And that's always been a niche I felt like I've had. I've had coaches that have been very good at helping with that. And we're player development. And so that's important to me to have facilities. We have an indoor where our kids have 24/7 access to. So we have a weight room that's actually probably 3 times the size of Kansas State's. Wow. So our weight room is a big deal here. So that's how you develop players. They get access to developing their skills on their own anytime they want. Give them a plan, and you get hungry guys that want to go execute it. Then, two, you got a weight room. That's like for freshmen, it's that 20, 25 pounds you got to put on. You know, Amen. We got to do that quickly. Little different here. We'll probably be a little more mixed transfer in high school than what I was even at Central Missouri. We had a lot of high school kids come in. And at Kansas State, we went almost all high school after my first couple of years of trying to copy Coach Snyder, which there's only one Coach Snyder. And it worked for him, didn't necessarily work for us. But I just think there's a lot of things here in place. And obviously, I'm passionate about Emporia, right? I mean, we're 1:15 from Kansas City. We're 1 hour from Wichita. You got 2 major cities. If kids want to pop up to Kansas City, watch a Royals game, they can. Yet we still have the small college town atmosphere here, which I think kids, again, can really like. Parents have to feel pretty good about sending their kids here, about it being pretty safe.
Yeah, no, there's no question. I love that area of the country. If you know, to our Showcase in College Baseball audience here, we're talking with Coach Brad Hill from Emporia State, but Emporia, Kansas, I love that area of the country. Good people, safe. Like I said, it's a hidden gem to me, and I love the tradition of Emporia State. I want to kind of shift gears, Coach Hill, and I want to, because this time of year you hear a lot of hey, coaches aren't out recruiting. They are out recruiting. Oh, wait. I want to hear from the source. You're the source. You're the coach. What are your typical recruiting activities this time of the year? What can guys, if you're recruiting somebody, what can they expect, you know, this April time of the year for recruiting?
Right. I think what you're running into, and again, it's changed. So I'm back in. And when I got the job at Northwestern, I got very little recruiting because I didn't get the job till August 1. I got to go do a couple of tournaments, but basically we started practice. We practiced in the fall, had a couple of prospect camps, had the season, and then unfortunately we didn't get to continue during next summer when the heavy recruiting really is. So what you're finding out is things have changed. The good old portal has changed up recruiting unbelievable. It's crazy what the portal has done to college recruiting. So for us, you know, we're in a situation that, you know, this will be my first full year of getting to recruit and kind of, you know, it's a year of evaluation, seeing where we're at, seeing the kids who are here, what we need to do, seeing the league. The MIAA is way different than when I was here in the 90s and early 2000s. The league is extremely strong. you have Central Missouri, but then you have, you know, you kind of have Central Missouri at 1A, but then you have about four or five 1Bs that are close to Central Missouri, not quite there. And when I was here, it was kind of like Central Missouri, and then it was kind of like 18 was competitive. Yep. Right, right. So right now what we're trying to do is, you know, we had a pretty good high school class committed in the fall. We kind of went the high school route early. Now with the portal, I think it opens up more opportunities for junior college kids. I think the junior college kid right now is sitting there being kind of led on like, hey, wait, wait, we're going to recruit you. But those Division I's are all looking in the portal every day. They're looking in the portal, trying to find the guy they want in the portal first. And then all of a sudden, if they don't find what they want in the portal in July, then they'll go for a junior college guy. But that may or may not happen, you know. So I think the junior college kids are kind of sitting there like, you know, what am I going to do? So we've put more of a focus on junior college than the portal. That's me. Other people are probably doing portal. That's fine. You know, and I'm still probably in a little trial and error seeing what's going to work for us. Sure. But there's some junior college kids out there. I think they're being overlooked because the Power Fives are going to go to the portal. Other Division I's want to go to the portal. And then you got the junior college kid. And obviously the prime high school kids are obviously going to be taking over junior college kids as well. So we're kind of really just right now, who's out there? Who are the kids that maybe are being strung along by Division I's?
Maybe
not really committing to them yet because they're wanting to wait and see what the portal is going to open up in the next 6 weeks. And some kids don't want to wait. You know, there's some kids don't want to wait. Here we go. Here's a good offer. You got it right now as opposed to wait and see. You're making an offer. And then the other thing is the portal creating is there's unfortunately, there's more players than spots.
Yep. Right?
There are more baseball players than spots on rosters. So even though you're on a roster of 45, you're not really on a roster because you aren't playing. You're sitting
there. That's right. That's right.
So you're not really on that roster. If you're in a program of 40, 45 kids, you're not really on that roster because you're not playing. So now there's the portal, right? So you got program stockpiling kids, and all of a sudden a kid goes, I'm not going to get to play here. Portal. And that's why you have so many names in the portal. But again, it's interesting for me how many kids go from one portal, Division I, and they're like, well, I want to go to another Division I.
Yeah.
And they'll go to another Division I, and they're right back in the portal again. So I don't know. I just encourage kids, hey, look, do your research. I mean, kind of have, hopefully you have some coaches out there trying to guide them along. Parents, trying to give them the good information about find a place where you where it's reality of getting to play. That's why you go to college. Now, and again, you're always going to have the bottom guys. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have 35 guys or 45 guys. There's always going to be some guys at the bottom that never play. But if you get into 45, well, now all of a sudden it's 10 or 15 guys as opposed to five guys not playing.
Coach, that is beautiful information, by the way, because I feel like there is so much that's said and even not said about the portal, but like what are the realities of the portal? So here's what I want to know from you, just kind of navigating. I know for me, this is what I would want. If I was a senior in high school, I would want to go somewhere. I don't care the number after the division. I want to go somewhere where I can play, especially if I have professional aspirations, right? After my junior year-ish type stuff. So my question to you is this. For the seniors, for the juniors and seniors in high school right now, how does the portal affect them? And what is your advice for them in navigating the recruiting world right now?
Right. I think it's number one, just you got to feel comfortable, confident where you're going. And again, what is my role there? Research the roster, right? Mm. And again, even a freshman coming in is kind of like, okay, and most good programs, freshmen don't get to play a lot. That's reality, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter where you're going. Everyone's going to tell you, oh, you come in, you're going to play right away. That's not necessarily true.
You
still have to earn that, right? But again, what I think you want to look at is the numbers game. Like, so if I'm a really good catcher, you know, and a guy's getting, hey, come in, you can catch, yet there's a sophomore catcher catching 90% of the time, and then there's a freshman catcher already catching the other 10% of the time, and they both have pretty good numbers, I don't probably think that's a good spot for you. You know, yeah, now if it's a junior, it may get drafted. I mean, you're just trying to look at that roster and you got to research, and it takes time to really look through those things. Every coach, including myself, is going to paint the great picture, right? I mean, everybody's going to paint. It looks beautiful. But the bottom line is, do your research. Who's there? Do you really see yourself playing there? Scholarship, like, are you on 75%? Or are you a walk-on? Are you on academics? Are you on 25%? Are you on $1,000? I mean, it's just the way it is, right? The more money you're on, the more investment. It's like, you know, it's just like pro ball. If you're going to be given $1.5 million, they're thinking about you being a prospect. If you're getting $10,000, you're not much of a prospect.
That's right. That's right.
So it's kind of the same way in college baseball. Bigger the scholarship, the more they're kind of counting on you, and they're going to give you more opportunity.
Gosh, it just seems so logical, the things you say. And I know I have my assumptions as to why you have such a long track record of success. Is super honest, super transparent. What I'm hearing from you is, for these recruits, you don't have to go into this stuff blind. You can have answers. You can find answers. You can ask questions, make some observations yourself. Whenever I talk with high school kids and they ask, hey, what would you consider? What's going to make me happy? And I have this saying is, who you play for, who you play with, who you play against. What, in your opinion, in all your experience with college baseball and the history and your experience of the game, what's going to make a kid happy when he gets on campus, Coach?
Well, I think one, he's got to feel comfortable with the surroundings. So, coaching staff. Right? Do you feel good with the coaching staff? Do you feel like you can have a good relationship? You know, communicate with the coach. You feel comfortable. Feel confident. You got to be comfortable, number one. So two, again, then all of a sudden becomes like, okay, well, is this a place that I do want to get a college degree from? You know, am I comfortable with the classes? Am I comfortable with the degree program? Teammates. You know, what about teammates? Am I going to be comfortable with teammates? So I think it's important that, you know, whoever you're recruiting, they need to know who you've already committed. And now, like I said, once they commit, now you start helping those guys connect. So, you know, so our freshmen, they already connected. Our freshmen are already connected. They're texting each other. They're getting to know each other. Before they even get here, they're establishing some comfort zone before they ever get here to help them be more comfortable. Because you're going to be away from home. I mean, some kids, we have some Arizona kids. We're going to have kids from all over, honestly, on our roster eventually. So again, the farther away from home, you need to get comfortable in a hurry. So, and we have a great small community that's very supportive. That helps too. Having a really small community that understands that kids, when they get here, need to be comfortable right away. I think kids, again, right away, what are they comfortable doing? Playing baseball. Get them down to the indoor facility. Hey, the field's open. Go down and hit. Get them doing what they want to do. Practice baseball. Get them going right away. Let them do it. Doesn't have to be structured. I prefer not being out there. So again, they get comfortable laughing, having a good time with each other, getting comfortable being on campus, getting comfortable being around their teammates, and open up the field, open up the indoor, and say, hey guys, go at it for the first couple of weeks. We just do some things like lifting, but we don't have any structured practice time, but just helping those kids kind of get comfortable going to class, getting situated with the new surroundings.
Love it. I love that. That is huge. And man, you know this. I mean, you've been in this game for so long. These relationships, they last forever. And it's crazy to me the difference between high school versus college. Like, college is where it's at. To have that relationship and those networks that just go on and on forever. I want to get into that, Coach. I can't even imagine what the contacts in your cell phone look like and the coaches and the guys you have access to. So I want to say this again, I'm talking with Brad Hill for the Showcasing College Baseball podcast, talking with Coach Brad Hill of Emporia State today. Coach Hill is the all-time winningest coach at Central Missouri, the all-time winningest coach at Kansas State. So I don't really know what else to say. Anytime you say all-time winningest, that's probably pretty good. So here's what I want to know. As you, with all the experience that you've had in the game, talk to me about your coaching tree. Cause I know that's something that you've got to take some pride in. Talk to me about some of the guys that you've had in and around you and what they're out doing these days.
Yeah. So before we went live on the air, we're talking about that. And you know, again, you don't get to have success without great people around you. And so, you know, one, I always want to give credit to the coaches that have been with me, because honestly, I can't coach anything. I don't have a clue how to teach the slider or what pitching is, you know. I don't know how to catch. I mean, those things are, you know, I do have an offensive philosophy, you know, I have a defensive philosophy, but yet I'm not coaching every position. The hitters, you know, for a while I was a hitting coach, but then that gets turned over, you know, as you begin to climb the ladder and you have more responsibilities, you start handing those responsibilities over. So I've been blessed. Great, great coaches. Gosh, I can just start, you know, right away. At Central Missouri, my first job, I got the job August 8th at Central Missouri. They just came off national title with Dave Van Horn. So I get the job and I'm like, holy crap. Okay. August 8th. What do I do? You know, unfortunately they had some kids, you know, that didn't get to come back for whatever reason. So we're sitting there with about 3/4 roster, but I didn't have a coach. And I don't even remember how it all came about, but I get a phone call, a guy named Sean McCann was down. Yeah. Ole Miss. So he's with Don Kessinger down at Ole Miss as like a volunteer guy, just doing a lot of stat stuff for him. And I mean, he was kind of one of those pre-analytical guys a lot of numbers. And he gave me a call and was interested. I called a couple people, said, you're going to be fine. He just can't throw BP. Even though he's a pitching coach, he can't throw BP, which will bring me to another guy that couldn't throw BP. It's maybe the best pitching coach in college baseball. But I'm like, well, what are my options? So I brought up Sean McCann, and gosh darn it, man. He helped, you know, promote that program. A guy that had no ego. I mean, he was driving down to see Brent Kinmitz at Wichita State. He would get on the phone with some of the best pitching coaches in the country. No fear, no ego. Yeah. He wanted to learn. He was hungry to learn about pitching and how to develop kids. And so anyway, we had a good relationship, you know, made it through. I can't remember. Sean left in 2008 or 9. He went, like, John Cohen took him away from me. John Cohen's name, obviously, Mississippi State. Yep. Missouri, places like that. Now the AD at Auburn, but he took him down to Northwestern State in Louisiana, took him away from me.
Wow.
But anyway, Sean, big, big part of it. And then I got a couple new guys in at Central Missouri who did a great job. Tommy Myers, who actually went with me to K-State. Clint Culbertson helped coach that national championship team. They were really good. Tommy went back to Central Missouri, took him to a couple, went with me to K-State, back to Central Missouri. But once I got to K-State, Sean came back with me. He was actually at Missouri with Tim Jamison.
Yep.
And he actually came with me to Kansas State when I got the job there. I brought Tommy Myers with me from Central Missouri. And then from there, as the coaching, you know, started to have changes, we went to Lane Burroughs. And Lane Burroughs, now the head coach at La Tech, doing just a tremendous job, man. That guy is class A. What a super person. That's the guy you're going to send your son to play for. I can promise you that. First-class guy. And then after that, Josh Reynolds came in. He took over for Sean. But then Andy Sawyers came to me from he was at Nebraska, went to Texas A&M. Then Andy Sawyers came in. He brought a whole new level of energy to our program. I give Andy a lot of credit of just energizing our program. The guys had so much confidence in him. 2009 was our first regional. A lot of credit to him to energize our program, give confidence to our hitters. And that's when we made the first regional at Kansas State. So, and then from there, you know, I had John Sheff come in, who's now the head coach at Virginia Tech. He went to Maryland from our program. Rob Vaughn was a volunteer here. And now he's the head coach at Alabama.
That's crazy. So,
Mike Clement. Then when we won the championship in 2013, Mike Clement comes in. Well, now he's the hitting coach and offensive guy at Ole Miss with the national title under his belt.
Yep.
So, again, as you start to look at some of the people, you know, that I've been blessed to be coaching with, and I can't forget Mitch Gaspard. He's down at La Tech, you know, again with So I just, again, been very, very fortunate to have some great coaches. They're going on and having great careers right now as well. It's pretty cool. So Tracy Archuleta won a couple titles, Southern Indiana. Now they're Division One. He's with me for a year, Central Missouri as well. So the tree is really branched out. Those guys are all having success. You got to give – that's the reason that I had success is because of them.
Man, Coach Hill. Wow, that is – see, I'm a baseball guy too, Coach, and I could just listen to it, man. I love hearing the stories, and I love hearing the network and the connections that you guys have. I want to kind of shift the focus and you know what? I want to go light with this question. I want to go light with this question because I feel like you're going to have something good for us. What's the best baseball advice you ever received?
Man, just play hard. Just play hard. Mm. That's, I mean, that was it. Just my dad and my brother. It was just about play hard. I mean, that's it. And that's always been me. I've always been blue collar. Yep. And so it's the way I played. It's the way I coach. And I know when you play hard, it helps overcome a lot of mistakes when you just play hard.
Define play hard for me, Coach, for all those kids listening, because I'm telling you, I know what it means, but I want you to tell us what it means.
Right.
What
does play hard mean? So that means play hard means that you're going to run hard to first base. A comebacker to the pitcher, you're going to run hard to first base. Fly ball, you're going to get your butt to second base and touch second base. It means every ground ball that you're close to, you die for. Mm. You know, in the outfield, man, it's just about you're going to give up your body. You know, I mean, it's about team first, play hard, set an example, rub off on your teammates. Be willing to stand in and wear a pitch, you know. I mean, that's play hard. Be a pitcher on the mound, your hat's down, and you're attacking hitters. I mean, all that, it's aggression, but it's about play hard. It's all about just playing hard. At the plate, obviously, with aggression. Like, it is absolutely with aggression. It's about sending messages. And you want to send messages. So that was just what it was. My dad instilled, that was from basketball. My dad was hard on me in basketball about play hard, play harder than the other guy, you know. And again, you kind of take play hard and you start putting other adjectives with it. But to me, it's always been about play harder than the other person. And that came too from my mentor, Coach Bingham. Like, you know, Coach Bingham was here at Emporia State. Actually, he's just here this weekend. Or this last couple of days with me. But, man, it's just about you're going to play harder than the other team. And for me, that was also a challenge for me as an individual to play harder than the other guys on the other team.
Man, I love play hard. And, that is great advice. We're talking with Brad Hill on the Showcasing College Baseball podcast here today. Coach Hill, a few more minutes, man. What great information so far. We talk about playing hard and you talk about, because that tells me the type of player you're looking for, and what you're looking for out on the recruiting trail and guys that you want in your program. I want to take the opposite of that. So the guys that play hard, that's what we're looking for. What are we not looking for? What are the red flags you pay attention to?
Yeah, it's hard. Selfishness, guy that's looking for numbers or the look at me guy first, as opposed to team. It's gotten away, man. I'm so old school, and I have a hard time watching a lot of the MLB stuff because it trickles down. Right. I mean, it's the home run bat flips. It's the jog around. It's the pointing at themselves as they circle the bases. It's getting the double and guys doing whatever crap at second base. And man, I'm just old. Let's just play baseball. Like, let's play old school, hard-nosed baseball and be about the team. Be about being unselfish, team first. You know, guys that go in the dugout, do guys have some maturity? You know, when they go in the dugout, do they sit on the bench and pout? Are they back up, you know, trying to encourage teammates? But I don't know. I know it's a different day and age, and guys are trying, you know. I know there's people out there going, oh, you got to change the times. But man, when it becomes about look at me as opposed to see our team, I have a really hard time with that one.
I don't know. I don't know how you win that way. I don't know how you win with that selfish attitude. To me, it just seems like an impossibility. Talk to me about grades. Talk to me about when you're considering guys, how important or what role do grades, the classroom, what role does that play in recruiting players?
Two things. One, don't have to babysit. You have some self already have some time management skills. You have, you know, some pride in who you are in the classroom. And so that's right away less headaches of having to babysit, go monitor class, whatever. One. Two, stack money, right? So yeah, that academic money, you stack it. So, and this is no secret. It's out there. I mean, I'm not like I'm got something that no one else knows about, but you find a good student that can get $3,000-$5,000 in academics. Well, for Division One, great. That might be his money. You know, again, you have guys that aren't going to be on baseball money. Well, get guys who are going to be on academic money. You know, I mean, I don't know. There's places like Kansas State. I mean, there's big money, $8,000-$10,000 in academics.
Wow.
So that could be as much as a baseball scholarship. It could be 30-40% in academics, which is actually better than 25% baseball. Man. Just got to get the kids and the families to buy in the ego thing again. Well, it's not baseball. Well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Money's money.
That's
you
right.
know, again, does it fit for you though, right? Is the opportunity, does that roster, does that fit you with academic money? If it does, great, because baseball coaches still have to build a team, right? They still have to have guys there. They're going to contribute. I've had some big contributors that weren't on baseball money, walk-ons that turned into really darn good players that were there on academics. Or you can take the academics and stack it. So 5,000 academics, 5,000 in baseball, that's about 80% scholarship at Emporia State. Not bad.
Heck yeah.
So,
heck yeah.
You know, that's kind of what you try to do.
Yep. No. And man, is the grades thing? I've heard this before. If I'm choosing between two players of similar physical ability, there, if that's all equal, I'm taking the student, the better student than the one that is less than. Is that fair to say?
That's probably pretty fair to say. Yeah. If everything's equal, and one has a 3.5, the other has a 2.5, you're going to take the 3.5.
2.5, coach. 2.5, yeah.
I just get out. I made that decision a little easier.
Yeah, right there. I totally get it. I'm like, for you guys out there listening, if you have a 2.5, don't waste your time calling Coach Brad Hill. Coach, love the information so far. I'm a few more questions for you here. I want to know specifically because Emporia State NCAA Division II, rich tradition. I know where you're going with this program. Everybody knows where you're going. Everybody knows where Emporia is going to be. So let's anticipate our World Series. You're going to be in Cary. I'm well aware of this very soon. So I'm a kid listening to this podcast today. I'm a high school kid. I'm a junior college kid. And I'm like, man, this Coach Hill kind of knows what he's talking about. What's this Emporia State stuff? How do I get a hold of you? How do I get your attention as a recruit? How do I go about that process, Coach?
Yeah, best thing to do is you know, everybody sends emails. I get it. But you got to have one, numbers always catch, right? And there's some kids out there that have hugely inflated numbers. But the numbers do catch your eye, but then video. And then, honestly, you got to have a couple coaches on there you can contact. So, you know, again, coaches can also, I know coaches are trying to promote their players. You guys sometimes got to know who you can trust and who you can't, but the video kind of tells you a lot, right? So you can see bat speed, you can see athleticism, you can see arm action, and the numbers, like I said, numbers will grab your attention, but then it kind of comes down to, well, does it work? You know, where's he playing? Is he playing in, you know, is he playing in altitude with those numbers? You know, is he playing in a big ballpark and has numbers? Is he playing in wood bat? You know, is it a wood bat league? Junior college wood bat. You know, if you can hit 350 with wood, I would think you can hit with aluminum, you know. So I just think there's different things you got to look at. But one is, you know, you got to attach, there's got to be some numbers, but there's got to be some video attached to it, and then contact information. Because again, if I see a guy with bat speed, I see a guy who can really run fluid, athletic actions in the infield, a pitcher that has a good loose arm, or a pitcher that's projectable, 6'3", 170 pounds, 82 miles an hour, but yet the arm really works, man, those are projectable kind of guys. So that's the kind of things we, you know, I probably don't need to, you can look up my email on our website.
It's there. It's there, coach. It's there. I used it this morning. But hey, I will say your number's not there, so don't worry about that. I get it. But that's great information. And let me ask this. As a coach, you're in the business of helping kids. That's one of your responsibilities is to take care of young men, right? So as a coach, I'm assuming you want to help guys out with this process and help get them in the right direction. Is that fair to say with the recruiting process? Hey, if I'm asking you questions, can I get advice from you? Can I get feedback? I mean, are you going to be real with me? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the bottom line is you want kids to enjoy the college baseball experience. And I just try to tell kids, if you really want to play college baseball, I mean, like, that's your passion. Like, academics and parents may not want to hear me say this, but, man, I want to play baseball more than the degree, right?
Yes.
I'll get my degree,
yep.
But I want to play college baseball.
Mm.
There's going to be a place for you. Number one, I say that if you're serious, there probably is a place for you to play, right? So there's a lot of programs out there, and it may be, you know what, you may have to go to a little NAIA Division III junior college or junior varsity baseball for a couple of years.
Sure.
But I'm just telling them again, you know, where does it fit? What are you looking for? And the college baseball experience, if you really want to do it, man, as you and I both know, we talk about all the time. That's the one thing. I mean, I've had a lot of really cool experiences. Don't get me wrong, man. I got to play in the 93 College World Series with Coach Bingham at the University of Kansas. Maybe one of the greatest things ever that people don't really recognize. The University of Kansas went to a College World Series. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Not a Final Four, a College World Baseball Series. But done some really cool things. But I'm going to tell you, out of all those things I've got to experience, Pro Bowl, whatever, Big 12 Championship, I'm coming back to college. I will go back and relive a year of college over anything. It's the greatest time, best friendships, most memories. You talk about these times more than any time else. So if kids really want to do it, man, pursue it. Pursue it. You won't regret it.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. Last question I have for you, Coach. Coach Hill, Coach Brad Hill of Emporia State. On the Showcase of College Baseball podcast, wrapping up here. What I want to hear your soundbite, what I want your advice on is talk to parents for me. What is your advice for parents going through the recruiting process in general?
Get out of the Twitter mode, right? Get out of the ego of my son needs to go play SEC Power 5. Find him the best fit. Find where he's going to have an opportunity for real success in the classroom with his teammates, on the baseball field. Where is that? Right? It's not about the name on the jersey, right? It's more about the right fit that you actually get to put that jersey on and get on the field. That's what it's about. Get a jersey on where you actually going to wear that jersey on the field, as opposed to in practice in the fall or sitting over on the bench and never getting in a game, right? Find a jersey that you're going to get to be seen out on the field actually playing, and find that environment. And then, of course, the other things, what size of school, what degree programs, those things all come about. But, again, we're really talking truly baseball, right? Let's find the uniform where you're actually going to be seen out on the field wearing that uniform.
I love that. That's some of the best advice I have heard for parents. Listen up, parents. Well, Coach Brad Hill, before I take us out, is there any final thoughts, any final comments you have for our audience today?
Just like I said, I appreciate getting to talk. I'm passionate about baseball, but I'm so passionate about college baseball, man. I'm an ESPN Plus. All I do is just flip from channel to channel to channel to channel, just watching college baseball all the time. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, the kids play hard. It's a passionate thing. You know, you watch Major League Baseball. We all want to be there. I get it. But I told the guys the other day, the only time I ever watch is when it's playoff time. I mean, that's when those guys – they do go to a whole nother level. When it gets to be playoff time, it's a whole nother level. and I get it, 160 games, how do you, you know, the college season's 50, 56, whatever. It's short, but I'm all about just, I love watching college baseball because the passion, the true, that true emotion, man, those kids, that's true emotion. A lot of times, again, I think the MLB stuff is about the showmanship and all that, but college baseball, it's become some showmanship. I get it, but there's also a lot of raw emotion, really raw emotion.
Yeah, man. College baseball. I am more thankful for my college career than probably anything else to do with baseball. So, Coach, I second that. Coach Brad Hill, I want to thank you so much for your time today, man. You guys finish up strong. I know you will. And I'm guaranteeing we're going to be seeing you and Kerry very, very soon. So, Coach Brad Hill, I appreciate your time today, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, Ross. Really appreciate it, Ross. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
All right. Take care.
Again, I want to thank Brad Hill for taking some time to talk with us today. Go give him and the Emporia State Hornets baseball team a follow on X at ESU Baseball. We wish them luck the rest of the way of the 2024 season. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and on behalf of the Showcase in College Baseball podcast, I want to thank you for listening. Be sure to follow the Showcase in College Baseball group page on Facebook and follow the podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Showcase College Baseball Pod. For exclusive clips and content. We will see you next time.